God of mine, let's pray together. I just want the Word of God to speak to us today. It's been an exciting day in worship, as it always is an exciting day of worship around here. And if you all don't mind, I think sometimes we need to give thanks to God for the people that God uses. Will you all just thank this praise and worship team for your use and their gifts? Amen. 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 And now you guess what? You guys are going to use your gifts, and our gifts are listening and embracing the Word of God, sharing the Word of God, and we got an exciting message today. And so, we're on the verge of releasing this church if we'll let it go. And we've had some exciting things this week. Had our worship team was at another youth camp preaching. We had our youth in youth camp. We've been to Costa Rica to make some connections. It looks like God's going to open up El Hillview down there. And so we're going to need some of you that know how to speak Spanish and some of you all that can learn how to speak Spanish to do a great work in that country. And God's moving this church global. We said about 6 or 7 years ago that was in the plan, and it's going that way. And I think Costa Rica works for us because they're kind of laid back, you know, people, and we're kind of laid back people, and there's a connection. But I do want you to pray. One of the things that God has called Hillview, you know, to be in battle over, and we're going to talk about that today in the text. You all probably figured out that I'm not a legalist. You all, if you listen to me preach like one sermon, you'll figure out that religion and people that try to make other people feel less than because they've come into some kind of holy stance, I stand against that. And I'll rail against it, and I come hard against it because, and here's the reason I stand against it. Because I believe this, there are more people in the United States of America in the South deceived by goodness than evil. Let me run that by you one more time. I think there are more people in Southern culture that are deceived by goodness than evil. Because I think a lot of people hear this, I'm going to be kind of this good person, a good American, have a few morals in my life. And then kind of just live good. I hear this all the time. I'm living a good life. And I'm going to live these good things, and then I'm going to go to heaven. And the deep problem with that is that's not the gospel. But man, we've even preached it in our churches as the gospel. And we're going to see today, the gospel is this. God has had mercy on every one of us. And we need to open up to the mercy of God and let the mercy of God flow through us so the world might be blessed. Can y'all kind of get that handle on the world? And this is tough, guys. And listen, and I'm not saying anything goes. I want you to hear me clearly. But you need to understand, when it comes to the message of salvation, it's not about what you have done. It's about what Christ has done. And you got to connect to what He's doing. And then that'll change your life. Amen? Do I get any amens? Amen. Or could be possibility. Or this is absolutely true, because it's absolutely true, all right? All right, let's pray. Lord, open our ears and open our eyes today. Open our hearts. Open the reality of our lives that we might know who You are. God, let us see what it's like to be one of Your children so that we might be embraced by heaven itself. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Gospel of Luke, verse 9. Jesus tells a parable, and then Jesus has an episode, an event of life. Now, I want us to learn some things today, because one of the things, as we move on sharing the gospel, guess what you got to do? You got to mature in your faith. And you got to realize Jesus is everything. We just heard this song. When the music fades away, what's left? Jesus. And guess what's going to happen? The music will fade. How many of y'all have had some music that faded? How many of y'all notice that life fades? For those of you that are parenting children, guess what I'm going to tell you? What you give your children is going to be important. I got young people in here that are ambitious, that are excited, that are moving. Guess what? One day, quicker than you think, you'll be married. One day, quicker than you think, you'll have a kid that looks like you. One thing that's even worse, you'll have a kid that acts like you. Quicker than you think it'll happen. Kids driving, one day you'll be a grandparent quicker than you think it'll happen, won't you? And before you know that, Ronnie, you'll be a great grandmother quicker than you think that'll happen. So what are we going to give our children? I hope this. You will decide to make sure your children are exposed. And listen to how I say this. An authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way they're going to get an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ is you've got to live out your faith in the house. Taking them to church ain't enough. To be proper, taking them to church is not enough. You're going to have to actually be real about this faith. And I'm going to show you what happens. We cannot, our religion is not enough. Just say it with me so at least I know you've heard it. Our religion is not enough. And you say, well, why in the world are you coming back to this? Let's look at verse 9. Now, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, Jesus is going to speak to them. They confident of their own righteousness. How many of y'all have ever been confident of your own righteousness? How many of y'all have ever said this? I'm going to go to church. Listen, don't say this. I go to Hillview. If all you do is go to Hillview, you're going to hell. Are you clear on that? I mean, if here's all you can tell God, I went to Hillview, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble. If all you can tell God is I was a Baptist, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble. If all you can tell God is I went to a meeting, jumped up and down, you're in a hell of a lot of trouble. You better meet Jesus Christ. Somebody hearing what I'm telling you. You better. Tony, what saved you? Jesus. Pastor Ayers didn't save you. Jesus saved you. Now this, he's telling a parable to some who are confident of their own righteousness and who look down on everybody else. Jesus told this parable. How many of y'all have ever seen these righteous people to look down on everybody else? Here's what you all need to understand. Hear me clearly. We're all sinners. How many of y'all got a hold of that picture? Now be careful when you get a little over righteous. People say, I can't believe the world's the way it is. Well, the reason the world's the way it is because of sinners like me. Not sinners like them. I know people that have committed hideous sins, but they'll point out everybody else's little detailed sins. Hideous sins. Yeah. Adulterers worried about somebody saying a cuss word. They'll get all worked up about a cuss word and forget they're an adulteress. The adulteress will get all worked up at the thief, but forget they're a what? An adult, and then the thief will get all worked up at the what? Adulteress and forget they're a what? How many of y'all realize we all probably got something going on? How many of y'all say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us for our something? Now be careful, man. This is where we got to get careful. And this is what really opens up the church. In spite of us being sinners, God gave us hope and mercy. Now he said, there are two people that walked into the temple. One was this righteous Pharisee. Don't be a Pharisee. In fact, we ought to make shirts that say, don't be a Pharisee. I want to get it in your head. Pharisees are not good. Let me go ahead and push it a little more. Jesus did not like them. And if you are one, he does not like you. And see, we've played with this Pharisee thing. We think it's okay to be a Pharisee. We think it's okay to be a Pharisee because Pharisees go to church. Well, the devil goes to church and God ain't okay with it. But we're okay with Pharisees because they have enough righteous look that we'll accept them. Be careful because Jesus didn't give his Pharisee any regard. He goes to the temple and he prays, oh God, I'm so glad I'm not like everybody else. I'm so glad I'm not like all the evildoers or the adulterers. I'm so glad that I fast twice a week and give my 10%. You know what Jesus said? I can't hear that guy. Why? He's confident of him. God, I thank you that I'm not like what? Other men. Now, you want to be deceived? Just think you're special. How many of y'all have come to this realization? I'm pretty much like every other human being. Here's where people misunderstand your pastor all the time. I believe human beings are like human beings. I don't give skin preferences any exemption in either way of not being a human being. I don't think you're penalized or extra blessed. According to pigmentation, we all humans. The only reason we're different colors is because we descended from different parts of the globe. That's it. We all have the same human struggle. We are sinners in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're equal at the foot of the cross. Everybody, you don't get an exemption. There's no affirmative action at the cross. Nobody gets special treatment. We all on the same deal, level. We all need God. Amen? Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Did y'all come to church today? I mean, this is good stuff. How many of y'all glad to know that every living, breathing human being has hope in Jesus Christ no matter what we've done? There. Hallelujah. Now, stay out of this garbage running around punking people. Don't be punking people. Don't be going, hey, we go to Hillview Youth Group. Because guess what God says? So what? Do you know me? He looks and he says, Brad Rice, do you know me? And Brad Rice says, yes. You can say that, can't you, Brad? That means you walk differently than people that say no. Wow. Danny Stoneberg can say, Jesus look at Danny Stoneberg and say, nice haircut, Danny, is what he say. And then he says, Danny Stoneberg, do you know me? And what do you get to say?
Yes,
that means you live out your university experience differently than those who had to say no. God will save us. Now, here's the way you get saved. You come to the realization that only Jesus can save you. That'll start freedom in your life. Because how many of y'all are saved and still thinking you need to help God? Yeah, Chuck. Yeah, Chuck, you and I had that argument, didn't we? Chuck used to tell me, he'd say, Pastor, I'll do anything you need. I got a lot of back taxes to pay. And I'd say, now, Chuck, listen. I want you to understand grace correctly. You don't owe God anything because there's no way you could pay him back. Remember those arguments we used to have? I said, this ain't a payback situation. God saves me, I pay him back. I could never pay for heaven. I said, this is God has saved me and I live in what he's done. Can y'all deal with that? Now, I know why this bothers you. You don't have anything to do with it. And that really ticks you off. Because we're all Americans, we're self-made, and by gosh, we know in the Bible it says God helps those who help themselves, right? It never said that in the Bible. That's the Republican motto. That's not the Bible. Jesus said we're all sheep gone astray, and we need a shepherd. That's what Jesus said. And then he said, I'm the shepherd. And nobody else is the shepherd. He said, I'm the great hope, and if you cry out to me, I will answer. Folks, let me tell you what. You want to get rid of one thing in your life that'll change your life forever, it's this. Quit being selfish. And now, guess how you quit being selfish? By confessing I'm selfish. How many of y'all are selfish? The rest of you are liars. So here's what we got gathered today. Liars and selfish people. Everybody's selfish. Wait, I'm going to show you how selfishness is a part of our culture. How many of you all had a conflict with another human being this week, somewhere along the week, and it was based on selfishness at the root of the conflict? Anybody have that experience with another human being? What did the rest of you all do? Just sleep in all week or what? Yeah? Conflict. The root of the conflict is what? Selfishness. Now you got to get over yourself to get into Christ. It's called salvation. Now look, I want to show you about this tax collector. The tax collector, he wouldn't even look toward heaven. He wouldn't even lift his head to where God was. And here's all he said. Dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. And Jesus said, I will. Here's why. The tax collector understood who God was. And when he understood who God was, he understood who he was. He realized he was without heaven unless God made a move. And he knew that God would make a move. And he said, God, have mercy on what? Me. What would happen if we started having churches that said, God, have mercy on me? And quit asking this question. I hear this all the time in the body of Christ in the United States of America. What can I do for God? I'll answer that question. Nothing. I can't do anything from God. God is not impressed with me. I mean, how do you impress God? Look, God, we built a church. Well, the materials came from me. Oh, but God, it seats like 2,000 people. Yeah, I fed 5,000 with a couple pieces of bread and some fish. Okay, we're not going to one-up you, are we, God? That's the whole point. God didn't ask me to impress Him. He asked me to follow Him. Big difference. Just follow me. Live the life. And guess what Jesus said to that old sinner? He said, God will have mercy on you. Now, everybody got that parable? Because here comes to the truth. Don't block God. And this week I want to open us up. And parents, I just want to encourage you. I'm not going to do parent sermons. I will not say a lot about parenting other than what's exactly to the text. I have people ask me all the time personal experiences on parenting. When my children reach their mid-30s and they've done well, then I'll start preaching on parenting. Right now I'm at high risk. Okay? I will teach on the principles of parenting, though. How's that, all right? Here's what I know. Parents, it's very important. We get our children to Jesus. We cannot make our children receive Jesus, but you better expose them to Jesus. I'm at this point of parenting. I got one going out the door. And at our house, when they go out the door, they don't come back. Just a different rule we have. You do it the way you want to do it, but I don't plan on having a 27-year-old live with me. It's not going to happen. Now, if he wants to live with me, he can live on the same property. I have a tent available in the backyard. And if he's 27 years old without a job, I ain't even giving him the tent. He won't be without a job because guess what? He's been raised with some truth in his life. He's already been raised. No work, no opportunity. He knows principles of Jesus Christ. Sow no seed, reap no harvest. He understands that one. He realized where the seed comes from. The seed does not come from mom and daddy. It comes from who? God. So I want to take my abilities, my gift, my opportunity, and use it to further the kingdom of God. Look at here. Jesus said this is what was going on. He told the parable. Plead for mercy and God will be what? Merciful. Parents, I want to encourage you with all kinds of love. Get your kids to Jesus. You have an opportunity this week. This church provides... Listen. Any of you parents, you go before the Lord and tell the Lord that your church didn't provide opportunities for your children, He's going to laugh at you. There's youth camps that go on here. There's Bible studies that go on every week. There's Sunday school that goes on Sunday morning. There's stuff, the special groups that go on through the youth ministry here. There's youth camps. There's vacation Bible school coming up this week. And guess what He's going to tell you? You chose not to invest your child toward me. Now, parents, I'm just going to be really blunt with you. Don't expect your children to be spiritual without exposure. And then I'm going to tell you something. If you're a good parent, you will take your children where they do not want to go. How many of you all, please, gave your children a bath when they refused to take one? Please tell me you did. I remember Blake when he was a small child. He'd go, I don't want to take a bath. I flipped him in the tub. I went against his will. I violated his will and his wants. I flipped him in the tub. You know why I could flip him in the tub? He weighed 40 pounds. I weighed 235 pounds. God had that in design so I could flip him in the tub. Now, guess how crazy he was. Once he got in the tub, then guess what he wanted? Then he wanted to get out of the tub. You know why God gives us children? To see how we are in relationship to Him. Is that right? How many of us are like that? God, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do it. Then we do it. We can't quit doing it. And God says, I want you to follow me. Now, look, now parents, I want to encourage you, man. I don't know of a better investment than to make sure your child is saved when they leave the house. That child going to college, I have no worries and no frets because I know that my child can say yes to knowing Jesus. And I know that's the greatest gift I could give them. Greater than money, greater than education, is that I know their soul is connected to heaven. If your children are walking out of the door without an authentic relationship to Jesus Christ, yeah, that would I would be really worried because you got a dead child walking out of the house. They're dead. That means they're going to be totally disconnected to God for the next 6 years when they're strategizing to build the foundation of the rest of their journey. Don't tell me children's ministry is not important. Don't tell me baby ministry is not important. And by the way, if you'd like to do a statistical study, you can look up studies that show children that were exposed to the gospel through their first 18 years and children that were not exposed to the gospel their first 18 years. And then they even got a third part of the study, children that were casually exposed to the gospel. And there's three distinct different lifestyles that those children live. That didn't surprise me at all. What's this? Does that sound like Revelation? There are those that are hot, there are those that are cold, and there are those that are lukewarm. Here's what people don't understand. Prospering has nothing to do with money. You can go to hell and make a lot of money. You can be lukewarm and make a lot of money. And you can make not so much money and have a full and abundant life. What did I tell you? We got to work at getting over selfishness. And here's what selfishness says. God, I want you to do life like I want it done. Is that following or is that selfishness? Absolutely. And selfishness will get you to say stupid things. Things like this. As Jesus was welcoming the children unto Him, follow this event. You ready? He welcomes the children unto Him. People were bringing their babies to Jesus to have them touch them. Now, why people were just bringing their babies to who? Jesus. Parents. I just want to simply tell you this. I think we ought to bring our babies to Jesus. What do you think? The greatest thing you can do as a parent is bring your baby to who? Jesus. And they were babies. Hey, baby. Boom. Watch this. You know what I'm excited? I'm excited about the children's ministry we have in our church. I'm excited about the baby ministry we have in our church. Did you realize we got two-year-olds that are coming home out of Hillview Heights Church, and they can tell you this, God loves me at age two. Because, thank God, the pastors that we have running our children's ministry, they don't do child care. They do children's ministry. Are there some rowdy two-year-old kids in there? You better believe they are. You had them. Are there some kids in there that'll climb the wall? Absolutely. They're acting just like the DNA you gave them. Are there kids in there meeting Jesus on a regular basis? You better believe it. People were bringing their children to who? Jesus! Parents, there's a suggestion here. Take your children to who? Jesus. When they act up at you, just say, I'm talking to Jesus about you. They say, you're not going to listen to me? No. I'm going to listen to you. You talk to Jesus. I'm done with you. I was going to try to run interference, but now it's just you and Jesus. You're going to have to go direct. If He strikes you down, ain't nothing I can do about that. Well, if we brought our kids to Jesus, what would happen? Huh? How many of y'all tried to fix your kids? There's a disaster. How many of y'all wanted your kids to be like you? Oh, that's so gross. That is one of the grossest things I've ever seen in humanity. y'all just think about it. How silly it looks when parents try to be their children's buddies. Ooh. I am not my son's buddy. I am not 18 years old. I'm not like you guys. My knees hurt. Yours don't. I could take any of you out at any time. Not because I'm stronger, but I know more. For only one reason. I've been on the planet longer. I'm a father. I take being a father serious. How many of y'all need to take being a father and a mother serious? How many of y'all have ever seen mothers that try to act like their teenage daughter's girlfriends? Now that is gross. Because I want to go, girl, put that stuff up. You are not supposed to be shopping there anymore. Just want to help some of y'all. If y'all ain't looked in the mirror, you ain't 16. And there's some things that change from 16 to 44. A lot changes. Yeah. I got my letter jacket out one time. Blake wanted to know. I couldn't even put it on. Because I didn't have the midsection that I do today. That's okay. God did that. Amen? Bring your children to who? Jesus. Now let me show you what happened. As soon as they were bringing these children to Jesus, guess who got all cranked up? Peter. The disciples. You're right. Well, not Peter this time, Tyler, but the disciples. He's probably one of them, though. You're right. Here they go. Oh, they stopped the mamas and daddies. They rebuked them and they said, dude, don't bring these children around Jesus. Don't bring your children around Jesus. In fact, I think, William, you gave me this bumper sticker, but I love it. I keep it in my office. It says, Jesus, save me from your followers. The meanest people I've met on the face of this earth have claimed to follow Jesus Christ. Some of the meanest people I ever met on the face of this earth say they're Christians. Now, here's what I want y'all to know. Saying you're a Christian doesn't make you one. Putting a Bible on your dashboard does not make your car run better. Nor does it save your soul. putting religious bumper stickers and wearing religious shirts has nothing to do with being a witness or salvation. In fact, I wish some people would take their bumper stickers off. That would be a good witness. Because then nobody would think you're one. It's about living this life. Look, here the disciples didn't understand Jesus' heart. Here's Jesus' heart. He welcomes children into His presence. And look what He says. I love this. He says, let the little children come unto Me. And do not what? Hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth. Anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. You know what a child does? They trust. Parents, your children trust you to give them the best in life. How many of you are shortchanging your children? Because they know a lot about this world, but very little about the one to come. And the only reason they know very little about the world to come is because mom and dad are more concerned about their child being recognized right now than getting them to Jesus. As I look past the journey of 18 years with a child, nobody has brought up his Pee Wee League championship. He talked to college recruiters and nobody asked him about Little League football. Things that seem so important at the moment tend to fade quite rapidly, don't they? I know when we were playing coach pitchball, we won the championship. I can't even tell you who it was against or what the score is now. But at the moment, that particular Saturday, it seemed like the only thing that was going on in the world. And those things are great and they're fun. Just don't overboard them past Jesus. I think we live in a culture where Jesus is a secondary thought instead of a primary truth. What do you think? Well, the only way that's going to stop is we have to make a conscious decision as followers of Jesus. I'm going to live this Jesus out. You know what a child does? They kind of do what they're told when they're in line. What if we just do what Jesus tells us? And He tells us this, love Him with everything we got and love our neighbor with everything we got and love life with everything we want. God. And from there, the kingdom of heaven will be revealed unto us. So I think we need to do it. Amen. So did you hear today that God loves you very, very much? And He's never going to quit loving you. How many of you realize we've all messed up? How many of you all have come to this truth? Doesn't matter how you messed up. The truth is you've messed up. Who forgives us? Who forgives everybody? Are there any exemptions? Now, I got to work with you on this. This is what you need to understand. Jesus only. Now, I know this is a crazy culture. I don't know about you all, but this week I heard there was this little blonde. And she had to get out of jail because it was stressful. Well, no kidding. This is how polluted we are. Praise God, we had some real man of law finally put her little rear end back in jail on Friday. Does that bother y'all? The princess is caged. And I'm glad she's caged. I'm glad that somebody made a statement. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how many political connections you have. It doesn't matter that you... And you know what? I'm just going to tell y'all the truth. She thinks she's better looking than she actually is. I can tell you this much. She thinks she's better looking than I think she looks. I think she's too skinny. Now, don't go home and tell your wife this. You'll get in trouble, but you need to look a little healthy. You know what I mean? Get a little health on you. She's just skin and bone. But now, don't tell your wife that. You know how I know? I did that one time. It didn't turn out real good. I looked at Elizabeth. I said, Elizabeth, you look healthy. I said, what are you making that face for? She said, that's just a code word for getting fat. I said, it is not. I was talking healthy, you know, like glowing. Man, the more I dug, the deeper I dug. Y'all ever been in one of those situations? I mean, what do y'all think about it? I live in a culture where Paris Hilton, honest to God, thinks she's beyond the law. But guess what? Some of us in this room think we're beyond the law. We think we're beyond any consequences. Some of us parents are raising our children like this. As soon as our children make a bad grade, they're not worried about making a bad grade because they know that you're going to go be fussing at the teacher. You ought to be fussing, but it's the wrong direction. You ought to be parenting. You know, watch this. Some of you parents spend a lot of time politicking for your kids. One day that's going to run out. Gosh, it's a devastating moment in people's lives. When those handcuffs go on, and that bailiff carries them away, and there's nothing you can do about it, and your connections ran out, and your money ran out, and everything what? Ran out. God have mercy on me. That's where we all end up. So just be careful. If you are raising a prince or a princess, please let them know that royalty cannot get beyond law. Paris is in jail. That'll probably be a new videotape series out on the internet. Here's my point. Paris is in jail, and who cares? The only reason she's popular is because you and I have watched her. And what did she promote to these, our kids? What did she promote? She promotes sexual immorality. Don't be like Paris. There were other names for that when I was growing up, but I will not use them at church. This is a glorified, beautiful woman, one that stays pure to her husband. And to do that, you can't party 18 to 30 and be pure. Gotta stay straight up. Gotta stay real. But guess what? You can come to church on Sunday, sit down, carry a Bible, say amen, do some hand raising, and go ahead and live your life like you want to. But guess what? There will be a day when you have to go into the temple. And you can pretend not to be like everybody else, or you can say what? Lord Jesus, have mercy on what? Me, a sinner. I want to come to you like a child. I've messed up and I need your grace. And I got good news today. Jesus welcomes what? Children. Amen. Has this got real to you guys? Huh? Does this make sense today? Thank you all for being a congregation that wants to get better. So what did you learn today? If we're going to really get in this life of Christ, what's one of the issues we got to get through and get better at? Selfishness. Good. We've learned. It's tough to be selfish. It's tough not to be selfish. I'm selfish. Stinking selfish. It comes up every week. Selfishness. Most of the time I'm mad at Elizabeth, it's because I'm not getting what I want. Then when I ask God, God, what do you want? He never agrees with what I want. He agrees with what Elizabeth wants most of the time. You know why he agrees with Elizabeth and not me? Guess what? One of the edges she has over me. She's not as selfish as I am. Maybe that's why she's relaxed. And maybe that's why she's never taken, like, you know, stuff for her stomach. And I have. Maybe that's why sometimes I'm, and she's like, it'll work out. You know why? Because I want my what? Lay. And guess what God says? On your way. I didn't save you to follow your way. I saved you to follow what? My way. And Jesus does say this, my way or the highway. He can say it. And I want you all to have a great summer. And if you'll just really come to this conclusion, life will get better for you real quick. You and I aren't God. He really doesn't care a whole lot about what we think because He doesn't know what we're talking about. He already knows we don't know what we're talking about. He really doesn't get all tore up about our feelings like we do. And by the way, He didn't save you to make sure you were happy. That's not high on His list. He saved you to make sure you could love with such intensity that the kingdom of God would be revealed out of your life and others also would be loved by God. That's pretty powerful. Amen. Y'all been wonderful today. Let's stand together. Everybody stand together. We got a great opportunity this week. 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, vacation Bible school. Guess what? Game day. Look at here. Game day. You ready? Game day. You ready? Game day Bible school right here. Game what? Game day. Obviously, vacation Bible school is going to be a lot of fun. Come here, Mark. Catch this. It's game day, baby. Look at here. It's game day. It's time to toss the ball. Catch the ball. Score. Amen. Game day. Well, guess what today is? A lot of y'all play a lot of games. A lot of y'all are very successful. This is a very athletic church. Guess what we're having right now? Pre-game. So we're in the locker room. If any of y'all need to get saved right now, I suggest you do it when? Yeah, good. I'm glad y'all up on that. You've heard the gospel today. How in the world do I come to know Jesus Christ? You come to Him and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I broke everything you said I shouldn't do. How many of y'all have done that? Look, let's see if you broke anything. God said don't tell a lie. How many of y'all told a lie? Just check it. How many of y'all have stole something? Borrowing stuff and not returning counts as thievery. And I know some of you have because I know I loaned it to you. All right, look here. You ready? Pastors that don't return commentaries. Shane. No, Shane does. I'm just kidding. How many of y'all have ever committed adultery? 5, 6? Yeah, watch this. How many of y'all have ever lusted at somebody else and go hoo-hoo and did not have godly thoughts? Come on, get them up there. Some of y'all are still lying. Get them on up there. Now this is the gospel. So let me ask you a question. Are you like everybody else? Yeah. So I'm going to pray today that you'd say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. I want to be what? Saved. Now here's the good news. If you're a sinner like everybody else, can God forgive you like everybody else? Amen. Amen. Also, I want you to come and pray. Parents, you got an opportunity 4 days, Monday through Thursday. You can either bring them in the morning session or the afternoon session. Vacation Bible school. People get saved there. People come to know Jesus there. Get them there. You say, well, we got, you do not have ball going on from 9 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock at lunch. You do not have ball games. I've already checked. And watch this. This might blow some people away. Coach, I'm sorry. We can't play this game, one game this week, because we want our child to be exposed in a very intense way to the gospel. We're followers of Jesus Christ, and we're going to miss one game out of your 65-game schedule. One. One. And I don't think we're having the World Pee Wee Championships right now. That's in July when the All-Stars come out. That's all good stuff. Does your child know that Jesus Christ died for them, has risen in them? Has your child grown in their faith? Do you see indications that their baptism is for real? Are you guiding them and bringing your babies to who? Jesus. There you go. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Y'all come pray for Vacation Bible School. Pray for each other. Pray that God do a great job with you. We've got a lot of young people in this congregation. Guess what? Y'all going to be married quicker than you think you will be. Some of us that are my age, we're going to be grandparents quicker than we think we'll be. I mean, I'm asking quick, God, being 15 to 20 years from now. That's quick, though. Guess what? Most of us are going to be dead quicker than we thought we were going to be. Gone. Right over. Wouldn't it be a shame if the only thing you can tell God when you get to judgment is this: God, I was going to get around to following you, but I was too busy for you. We had so much going on, I'm sure you understand. Here's what I know He hears. God, have mercy on me. a sinner. Father who art in heaven, your name is holy. Your path is righteous. Your mercy is everlasting. So God, I pray for any human being in this room that has not asked you to forgive them, that right now they might just speak and say, Lord Jesus, I need your mercy. I need your grace. I know I've sinned and I need your love in my life. And Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I want to follow your way. And God, I pray that Hillview continue to be a church that welcomes babies. I pray, God, that one day, I just ask God one day that we're going to be a tithing church. We're not there yet. We hadn't gotten there in 17 years, God, but you're not counting. Thank you for your mercy in spite of our disobedience. Thank you, God, that we get to worship in this worship center, even though all of us who claim to follow Jesus haven't been obedient in that area. But Lord, I pray that we'll get better in that area Sunday after Sunday. It's up to you, God. May we follow you in a real way. Amen? Guys, come pray for the kids. Come pray for the leaders, the workers. I want you to know that there's over 400 to 500 people in this church that have given their lives into Bible school already for the last 6 months. You know what? Because they care about your child. They want your child to know salvation. And I just pray that we will continue to be intensely reaching children in all that we do. So in the name of Jesus, y'all come on and let the Lord Jesus Christ save you and love you forever. Yeah? Get real with Him. Because He's already gotten real with you. Come on, in the name of Jesus, let it happen. Let it happen.